Welcome in, podcast listeners. Hope all of you enjoyed the game Saturday and Sunday. Four really fascinating games. We've got Tom Brady against Aaron Rodgers. We've got Josh Allen going up against potentially Patrick Mahomes, but we have to wait and see on Patrick Mahomes' health. We'll talk with Dr. David Chow about that, as well as Sean Merriman lights out himself. I'll rank all the different performances. We'll discuss the excellence of Tom Brady and Drew Brees. All that coming your direction. It's the Outkick Podcast. Go give us 5 stars. Danny G is going to read them this week. If you give us 5 stars, you might get to be named here on the program yourself. All that coming your way. It's the Outkick Podcast. The show is live 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, but you get the podcast, and it begins now.
Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, boys and girls. Well, first of all, we are working on Martin Luther King Day. I hope that you guys are using that day to reflect a little bit. Hopefully, if you are working like I am, work on Labor Day, work on Christmas Eve, work on New Year's Day during football season, we work on this show. There is a lot to dive into. A lot to dive in here. 4 different divisional round playoff games to break down. And I'm going to break them down in order and figure out what we learned, if anything, from each of them now that the AFC and the NFC championship games are set. But the biggest story by far is the health of Patrick Mahomes. He had to leave the game with a concussion, and we are going to bring in Dr. Chow for a special Monday edition at Pro Football Doc discussion on what exactly the concussion protocol is, on what we should anticipate regarding Patrick Mahomes and his health status, and whether he is going to play in the AFC Championship game or not. I understand that a lot of you out there immediately say, oh, he's going to play. They're definitely going to find a way to have him play. And I understand that position, and certainly I'm sure that Patrick Mahomes himself wants to play. But I do think we have to keep in mind this is a medical-related decision, and there are independent neurologists that are in charge of all concussion-related issues, and this was a part of the NFL's big concussion settlement. And so these are not NFL team physicians. These are not players able to dictate their own decisions. I think that is important to keep in mind here. We will discuss that a great deal next with Dr. David Chow. Again, going to have a special Monday discussion with him because I believe the biggest story coming out of all 4 of these divisional round games is what exactly went on with that from a health perspective. So, with that in mind, let me go ahead and dive in. I'm going to give you a takeaway from each of these 4 games and what we learned. First of all, the most dominant team in the divisional round playoffs was the Packers. The Packers absolutely went out and took control against the Rams. That game never really felt like it was in doubt. Aaron Rodgers and company, they rolled, okay? So the Packers, they get to play at home in Lambeau. If you are the Rams, I thought probably the most interesting commentary coming out of that was Sean McVay not seeming to say that Jared Goff was the long-range answer necessarily at his quarterback position. It seems like Sean McVay not very happy with the play that he got from Jared Goff, and we'll have to see what happens with that relationship going forward. In the Ravens and the Bills game, and I'll unpack this a little bit more later in the program because I think it's worth diving into, the Ravens' offense disappeared. This has happened now pretty much for all of the playoff games that the Ravens have been in with Lamar Jackson. And I think it's worth asking at this point, when the Ravens only put up 3 points, and obviously Lamar Jackson got knocked out of the game late, through the interception that was returned the length of the field in order for the Bills to win that game, I think it's a very fair question and a very fair perspective to be asking, what is going on with Lamar Jackson once he gets into the postseason? Why is he so dominant oftentimes in the regular season, and what is changing for him in the postseason, and how do you marry those two things together? Because even the win that he got last week against the Titans, they didn't really do that on the offensive side of the ball. They only put up 20 points. It was the Ravens' defense that won that game. When you only put up 3 points in a playoff game with your purported franchise quarterback healthy and playing in the game up to that point before the final 7 or 8 minutes, it's a very fair question, I think, to ask about what is not translating from the regular season to the postseason. For the Bills and the Bills Mafia, celebrate. You guys are into the AFC Championship game, and Josh Allen now has won 2 different games, even though the offense hasn't really performed at a very high level. The Bills have been outgained in both of those games, but the biggest play, I would say, just about of the postseason in general was the pick six that the Bills had late with the Ravens driving and trying to score there. And so, on the Saturday games, I think the biggest takeaway is Aaron Rodgers continuing to play at an incredibly elite level. Jalen Ramsey couldn't stop Davante Adams. Nobody has been able to stop this Packer team so far. They have played very well at home in Lambeau. And Aaron Rodgers seeking that elusive second Super Bowl. And now he goes up against Tom Brady. Let's go into the Sunday takeaways. The Chiefs appeared to be in pretty good control of this game. Patrick Mahomes gets knocked out with a concussion with about 20 minutes-ish left in the game. From there, the Chiefs try to just hold on. They manage to hold on, get the win. Chad Henne makes a really big play on 3rd and 14, scrambles for about 13 and a half yards. And then when you think that the Chiefs are just going to try to draw the Browns offsides, they end up snapping the ball a little bit early. Chad Henne hits Tyreek Hill. And the Chiefs are in the AFC Championship game now for a 3rd straight year. But all of the discussion surrounding the Chiefs is, not surprisingly, 100% connected to how healthy or not healthy is Patrick Mahomes going to be. That is by far the number one story. And as I started off the show by telling you, we will discuss that with Dr. David Chow next. It's the number one story in the AFC and the NFC as we get ready for both of those games. Okay. And then Tom Brady, I feel like we can't give him enough praise. Tom Brady comes out, goes to the Tampa Bay in his first year. I'm going to unpack this to close out the hour, but he has won the divorce with Bill Belichick. This is a discussion I've been having all season long. Tom Brady goes out and gets it done. Flip side, Drew Brees has had a phenomenal year. Brees is younger than Tom Brady, and I think if you saw him playing, it's clear he just still doesn't have his fastball anymore. He doesn't have the ability to make the throws that he used to make. And so, even with that having happened, by the way, the Saints had 4 turnovers. The Jared Cook fumble to me is the biggest play in the game. The Saints are in what feels like pretty good control at that point in the game. They've just gotten a first down. Jared Cook is running in the field. Ball gets swiped away from him. I believe I'm correct, Dub. You can correct me if I'm wrong. I believe the Saints were up 20-13 at that point, driving and looking like they were going to put more points on the board. Boom, the ball gets popped out. And from there, the Bucs come in and just take control and dominate down the stretch, score the final 17 points in that game to win by double digits. And now Tom Brady, in year one with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, has them back in the NFC Championship game. That is the 14th different conference championship game for Tom Brady. Truly remarkable. Again, we will unpack that in a little bit with all of you. I will talk about the extraordinariness of Tom Brady and what we're learning about the Brady-Belichick relationship. But up next, how healthy is Patrick Mahomes?
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Bring in now Dr. David Chow at Pro Football Doc on Twitter. Usually we talk to him on Friday, But this is such a huge story that I wanted to make sure that we talked to him as early in the week as we could. And we might even need to talk to him multiple times a week because there's a lot of different storylines associated with this. Okay, we've talked about all the challenges of the COVID protocols, Dr. Chow. Knock on wood, it seems like the NFL has been pretty successful so far in the postseason, divisional round playoff games. Now we get into the AFC and the NFC game championship games. There's only three games left in terms of the NFL season and football overall. So the big story, monumental story, massive story is Patrick Mahomes and whether or not now he will be able to play in the AFC championship game for the Kansas City Chiefs. So before we get into Patrick Mahomes specifically, I want to walk through, because I think there are a lot of people out there that are like me that know that the NFL concussion protocols exist, but don't really know what that looks like. So let me just ask you a series of questions if I could, Dr. Chow. Okay, so player on the field has what appears to be a concussion. What happens? What is the protocol that is in place that takes place? Player takes a hit, player takes a fall, looks like it might be a concussion. Walk me through what that would look like from an NFL medical perspective.
Sure. Whether it's a player self-reporting symptoms, a doctor or athletic trainer seeing symptoms, a referee on the field being concerned, or the buzz down from the eye in the sky, any of those initiates the concussion protocol for a visit. The screening can happen in the blue tent or in the locker room, but the formal evaluation has to be in the locker room. And that's what happened with Patrick Mahomes. And the bottom line is, just based on his symptoms when he was groggy or shaky and needed to be helped up, that would qualify him to enter the concussion protocol for screening and testing.
Okay, so he goes back, and then what does a concussion protocol actually look like?
Well, it's a series of tests, and it's scientific, but it's not NASA fancy. It's, you know, where are you, what day of the week, reciting presidents, serial sevens, counting backwards, days of the week, backwards, recall of items, balance, vision, tracking. So fairly standard tests that take about 10 minutes, and it's done by the team physician under the auspices of the Red Hat, the independent neuro consultant that's on each sidelines. And no matter what the team physician says, the neuro has to sign off for them to return to play. And obviously, there's quite a bit of erring on the side of caution in terms of concussion.
Okay, so the team physician does it, and there's one other person there watching to verify that the test is being done accurately or in the way that it needs to be done?
And honestly, to be the final arbiter of yes or no. In general,
so the team physician doesn't get to make that call. That's a decision that is made by the Red Hat, as you're calling it.
Yes, and ultimately, yes. In general, most cases, both physicians agree. But
yes,
if they don't agree, the Red Hat has the final say. If someone returns to play without the Red Hat's approval, there's a league investigation in the whole deal. And that really doesn't happen. And the policing is fairly tight of the situation.
Okay, so when they take Patrick Mahomes back, let's talk about some of the specifics of him. And I've got a general question that I've had before. Can you be knocked out and not concussed? In other words, let's say you're in a boxing match and somebody gets knocked out for a count of 10. And then they get back up and they're later able to be interviewed or talked to after a boxing match. We sometimes see that, right? Certainly we see it in
sure.
UFC, but I'll get to that in a minute because I think that's a different dynamic. Is it possible from a medical perspective to be knocked out and not be concussed?
Well, It depends on your medical or lay definition of concussion, but in the NFL's definition, the answer is no.
Okay.
It's a binary, concussed or not concussed. And whether it's mild, whether it's different types of concussions, whatever it is, it's binary. So yes, if you're knocked out, you would be considered concussed.
Which I think, and again, you can speak to this better than me, but when we saw Patrick Mahomes get up on that field after that hit, he was a little bit out on his feet, right? He was wobbly. He may well have collapsed if he hadn't had guys there to kind of help hold him up. And I think if you saw his face as they zoomed in, there was a lack of, you know, I mean, you could, you know, the lights for a lack of a better way of saying it, the lights are on, but there's nobody home, right? People have heard that phrase for a long time. That's what he appeared to me to look like. Is that any kind of medical perception there?
Well, I think that's fair, and all of us saw that. But in terms of concussions, the rules are if you have any visual evidence of concussion, you're supposed to rule them out just based on that, no matter what their tests look like. But it's not the final arbiter. You don't judge necessarily by reaction. You judge by exam and the total picture, the history, the presentation. Now, if for some reason the doctors, including the red hat, determined that his wobbly status and his absence was whether the air got knocked out of him or whether his neck was twisted momentarily, or as people have said, he was choked in the carotid momentarily, and that explained the circumstances of his grogginess, that's the only way he would have returned to the field. The proof, once there's visual evidence, level gets harder is finding a solid explanation. Otherwise, he's going to be ruled out. And that's why, especially given in a little time in the locker room, that's why I sort of went with he's going to be ruled out before the official announcement came.
Yeah, and now that official announcement comes, does the official announcement tell us anything more than what you had seen on the field? What does the official announcement mean then and going forward? Does it mean he failed the test?
The official announcement means that he's in the protocol and he's staying in the protocol. It doesn't necessarily mean he for sure has a concussion. There have been circumstances this year where players have been entered into the concussion protocol, stayed in the concussion protocol, and later determined that their symptoms were more related to, let's say, a migraine or something else, and were removed from the concussion protocol later. On game day, instruction is err on the side of caution. If it could be concussion, you need to keep them in the concussion protocol. But that doesn't always mean that they had a concussion. That just means that until things clear and there's follow-up, that you want to err on that side of ruling a player out. So it's binary once again. Either he comes out of the concussion protocol, he clears it, or he stays in it. And once if you stay in it, you're ruled out of the game, and that's what happened with Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, so what does this mean now going forward? Because we're all going to be asked that question. It's the number one question by far with the AFC and the NFC championship games inching closer and closer all week long. Basically, every bit of analysis anybody gives is going to be, you know, the follow-up, the predicate there or whatever is going to be presuming Patrick Mahomes plays or if Patrick Mahomes plays, right? All of those are going to be major points of discussion. So what does that mean going forward?
Well, as we hinted and wrote about and published at the OutKick article right at the end of the game immediately, is that once you're in the concussion protocol, the question is how do you get out of the concussion protocol? And typically, if you're in the concussion protocol and you have a concussion, first of all, you're not allowed to speak to media. So you can speak to your coach or your teammate or whatever, but there's no media questions or contact. That is a very strict rule that's supposed to be followed. So that's why we did not hear from Patrick Mahomes at all directly. The question is, can he get out of the concussion protocol in 1-7 days' time before next Sunday's game? Statistically, during an NFL regular season, the majority of athletes that enter the concussion protocol don't get out. by 7 days, statistically. Usually it lingers into a second week. It's 60-40, 65-35, where they do not come back if you took all comers.
So you can't know basically anything right now. When will we start to have better information about Patrick Mahomes and or the chance that he plays?
Well, here are the pathways for him to return to play. Before I even discuss this, I see a lot of people on Twitter saying, well, there's a lot of money, so they're going to play. The NFL is going to let him play. They're going to jury-rig it to play. They're going to pay off the independent neuro guy to let him play and the whole deal. Here's what I would say. The NFL does not want to open itself into a gazillion-dollar lawsuit, right? This is a $500 million guy. The independent neuro is appointed jointly by the NFL and NFLPA. If the NFLPA feels like this guy didn't do right by him, A, they're not shy about speaking up. B, he won't be the independent neuro again next year. And same if the NFL felt there was some monkey business. But to suggest that this doctor, albeit he or she lives in the Kansas City area, that's just by requirement, you know, for teams, each independent person lives in the
area.
There
would be 32 independent concussion experts that live in the geographic region area of all 32 NFL teams. Is that the way that this is structured?
Correct. And there's actually two, so there's a backup in case one's on vacation, et cetera. So you could say 64. But two in each city, they all live in the home city or region of the teams just because they need to be able to examine the players during the week and otherwise. It's a logistical issue. And so, yes, you know, you can call Homer there. But the reality is this. A physician, besides the Hippocratic Oath, and listeners can say, who cares? Physicians cheat. They're humans. They're open to bribes. But think about this. How big does the bribe have to be? Certainly, it's preposterous to think just because he's a fan, he or she is a fan, they're going to do this, right? Because if you make the wrong call and you're doing something that's not right, this is a $500 million athlete. The typical insurance coverage is $1 million, $3 million.
Okay? For doctors, you're for malpractice.
For doctors, for malpractice. You're going to, besides your reputation, you're going to lose your house and home and this all. I mean, nobody's doing that, right? They're trying to do the right things. Nobody's doing that. And I think it'd be preposterous to think that. And even team physicians, let's say the chief's primary care doctor who's trying to get Mahomes cleared, the majority of his practice and his living is not off the team. I mean, I did the job for the San Diego Chargers. The vast majority of my income, less than 10% of my income, was from the team. It was in the rest of your life and your regular practice. So you're not going to sell your soul to do this. So let me just get that out of the way. But how he's going to get out of the concussion protocol is somehow, if it's determined, A, he never had a concussion with medical tests that warrant that he never had it. And his reaction was a vasovagal response to the carotids or something like that with the neck, right? Something strange. That's one possible way. The other possible way is to progress through the five steps in the protocol of graduated return. And the biggest key here so far, and I've tweeted on it, that if you believe Andy Reid and teammates, and if Patrick Mahomes is straightforward in saying it, he says he feels great. If he has symptoms tonight / tomorrow, that makes it very difficult to clear him through the concussion protocol in 7 days. If he has no symptoms tonight and tomorrow, and he continues to progress in step-like fashion, then he would have a reasonable and good chance to clear the concussion protocol. But any setback along the graduated return would delay that. And it's not necessarily sequential. One day for one step, one day for the next. It's five steps. But the final step is from graduated return of activities is actually to do something at practice physically and see if he has any return of any of his symptoms before he is cleared. And the only slight home field advantage is because it's a home game for Kansas City, literally they could do the final clearance Sunday morning. But usually it's done by Friday, Saturday, and you know. But they literally could push it to Sunday morning because it is a home game for the Chiefs. And that's probably the only home field advantage there.
What would you expect for his Monday? You know, it's Monday morning for a lot of people out there listening right now. Patrick Mahomes, would he have a normal night's sleep typically after an issue like this? Would you be concerned at all about how his night was going to go? What would the typical medical response be for a concussion-related issue as you leave the stadium on a Sunday? You would do what and get ready for a Monday doing what?
Well, before he left the stadium, there'd be plenty of observation as to where he was at. If there was any continued symptoms of any sort, he would be hospitalized for observation and potentially treatment. The fact that he was not hospitalized is the first reasonable sign that his symptoms seem to be headed in the right direction or gone. But he would be released to other people, whether it's, I think it's fiance, or other family member, and to sort of some standard precautions to watch him. And I'm sure the physicians are checking in on him tonight with phone calls and otherwise. And if there's any concerns that they'll, bring him into the hospital, et cetera. So the hope is that he has a normal night's sleep and he really has no symptoms and doesn't require any medication. That's the first hope, and that he feels fairly normal. The days of putting someone in a quiet, dark room, so to speak, that's not really the necessary or the way that we go anymore. And quite honestly, they're actually, as he goes through the protocol, it's almost like there are some brain exercises that might help him improve. So there's different strategies depending on the type of concussion of how to treat it.
Now, he wouldn't be able to do a normal week's prep, certainly, even if he's feeling pretty decent, right? So is this something where he's primarily staying at home? Are doctors coming to him? Is he going to the main facility? What would the days as they move through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and so on and so forth, what would those look like?
Typically, a player would come into the facility to get checked out by the physician. But with COVID protocols and the fact that he is Patrick Mahomes, after all, I'm sure they could arrange a house call if need be. But typically, the player comes into the facility for the physical checks and so forth, but would not be immediately allowed to go into the team meetings and certainly would not be allowed to practice without medical approval. And the stepwise approval medically is indeed done by the team physician, but the player needs to see the independent neuro before they are cleared for the game. The final step, usually what happens is the team physician keeps the independent neuro updated so they know what to expect when the final approval is coming and where it's headed. And so it's more of a confirmation when there's an exam. But stepwise throughout the week, that's up to the team physician.
So what's the earliest we could know something on Patrick Mahomes, and what do you think the most likely scenario is in terms of when we know something?
Well, first of all, don't worry and don't think there's anything wrong if we don't hear from Patrick Mahomes at all. That will be the norm. You will not hear from Patrick Mahomes. He will not be at Wednesday practice. That will be a DNP. The hope is that he can start to do something by Thursday, Friday, and hopefully he can get cleared. The earliest he would get cleared, where we would have some sort of definitive word, would be Friday or Saturday. And like I said, it could progress to Sunday. But as you say, since this is the number one story, every reporter in town, beat reporter nationally, is going to have their tentacles on this to try and report it. But you're really not going to hear anything definitive until Friday at the earliest.
What about his teammates? What do you think they will know? What will they be told, if anything, about his status? Because obviously they want him on the field. And then Chad Henne has to, as with any injury, be preparing as if he's going to be starting in the biggest game of his career. And it's a difficult position for him to be in as well, obviously, because we're going to focus a lot on Mahomes. But it's possible that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be going out there with Chad Henne having a chance to put him in the Super Bowl. Because I do think if the Chiefs were able to get past the Bills, even if Mahomes didn't play, based on what we saw, it would be a tremendous upset if Mahomes weren't able to play in the Super Bowl from this hit, right?
Well, it would be an upset. It wouldn't be unheard of. It's happened before. I suppose the other key here is early on, no news is good news. If you hear reports of Mahomes being unable to drive, having headaches, or having any continued symptoms, you can book it that he will be out. Any news right now is, any definitive news right now is always just bad news. For example, the word from Andy Reid that he says he feels great is good news, but that doesn't guarantee that he's going to play on Sunday. But if Andy Reid had said he's doing fine, but he still has headaches and other things, that would be a very bad sign and really essentially rule him out from next week. So any early week news we hear would probably be only bad news. And the good news won't come until later in the week, at least from a reporting perspective in terms of anything definitive.
Okay, we know he's going to want to play, right? Every football player always wants to play. Can you fake health here and pass a test even if you're not medically able to play?
You can try, and people have tried, but there are different, dimensional testing and reaction time testing on a computer that have standard baselines that makes it difficult to fake. I won't say impossible. I mean, I suppose you could have an athlete, and I'm not saying Patrick Mahomes did this in any way, shape, or form, who tanked the set a low baseline. I mean, you could say that in theory, but in general, it's hard to fake. If you're having symptoms and delayed reactions and whatever, it's very hard to fake. If you're really feeling pretty good, but you have a little bit of soreness or a little bit of, wobbliness here and there, and you wanted to fake it, it's not impossible because it's not an exact science, but it's gotten better and better over the years where it's become much more difficult. And this is what the team physician's role is, and knowing the baseline and knowing the athlete. The independent guy keeping him or her informed throughout the entire time. And that's how you get as good a test as you can. But it's not always absolutely.
Dr. Chow, I appreciate it, my man. This has been fantastic. I hope I answered a lot of people's questions. I bet we're going to need to talk to you later this week as well. Appreciate you being flexible with us.
Oh, no problem. Anytime, Clay. Thank you.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Man, Dr. Chapman, that's probably the most detailed discussion you're going to hear of concussion protocol. It still doesn't answer the question of whether or not Patrick Mahomes is going to be able to play or not. Based on all you just heard, Dub, do you think Patrick Mahomes will play in the AFC Championship game? Because I do. And I appreciate Dr. Chow joining us. You can go thank him at Pro Football Doc. But I just feel like he's going to play, even with all of the protocols we just ran through. And that's just probably because I assume that everybody's going to play in every big game in the NFL. And I understand that there's a medical process in place and that it's not his decision to make and all of those things. What about you?
Well, I think in the combination of that conversation you just had with Dr. Chow and the Vegas line makes me think that Patrick Mahomes is certainly going to play, because the Chiefs opened up as a 2.5-point favorite. It's already to 3, so to me, that's pretty much telling right there that Mahomes should be playing next week.
That everybody expects that he is going to play, and that's out. I'm looking at the odds right now, and again, information can change, and the lines have moved around a lot associated with whether or not he's going to be playing, but the Chiefs are already out to a 3-point favorite, and that is suggestive of the fact that he would play. By the way, the Green Bay Packers, a 3.5-point favorite over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Bucs beat them pretty soundly earlier in the year. So both home teams around a field goal favorite. That's a pretty tight line in both directions. I think probably the 4 best teams in the NFL at the end of the season are playing. Maybe you could argue that the Saints should be there. I think that's the only other team, 4 turnovers. But we talked a lot Four turnovers for the Saints, by the way. We talked a lot about the impact of Tom Brady on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and this is why you brought him in. These kind of games, these kind of plays, these kind of positions that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers find themselves in right now, Brady has gone and won two road games already in the playoffs right now. They got revenge over the Saints, who had frankly whipped them twice in the regular season. Dub, you went out there and did the research coming into this game. The teams that had won the first two were 14-7 in the third matchup. Make it 14-8 because the Bucs got it done. And I believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, one of the big debates that has been out there for years and years and years in all of the history of this NFL dynasty that was the Belichick-Brady relationship was which one of those guys is most responsible for the success of the franchise. And honestly, we could have tossed out questions. I think we've done it as a poll question before. There are a lot of different perspectives on it. Right now, I think you have to say that Tom Brady is making a strong case that he was the most responsible party for the New England Patriot dynasty. That's not taking anything away from Bill Belichick. But you pull Bill Belichick away from Tom Brady, you give him Cam Newton, and the Patriots fall apart. You pull Tom Brady down to Tampa, and you give him to Bruce Arians, and suddenly the Tampa Bay Buccaneers go from a losing team that threw 30 interceptions last year to throwing 40 touchdowns and only 12 interceptions, and I think it's up to like 45 touchdowns now for Brady if you count all of the points that they have scored and all the passes that he's thrown, four touchdowns in the into the playoffs now. And so you start to break all this down, and it is a pretty solid evidence that Tom Brady is responsible for that dynasty in New England. The most responsible. Bill Belichick can still be a phenomenal coach, but there is now tangible evidence. And if Brady goes up to Green Bay and wins that game to put his team in the Super Bowl in their home stadium in the first year that he is in Tampa Bay, I mean, it's a pretty incredible accomplishment. And by the way, how much younger does Tom Brady look in the way that he's throwing the football than Drew Brees? Drew Brees at 41, it was sad to watch as he left the field. That's the last time I think he's ever going to play a football game. And Brady looks like he's got 5 years left. Brady didn't even look like he doesn't. I mean, he's 2 years older than Drew Brees right now, and he looks like he's going to be playing till he's 48. The first thought was, can he play till 45? I got to get signed up for that TB12 method. He's in better shape than any 45-year-old in the history of the planet. I mean, it's unbelievable. When we come back at the top of the second hour, we'll continue to unpack Tom Brady winning the divorce with Bill Belichick, but also we'll ask the question, is Lamar Jackson the James Harden or Russell Westbrook of the NFL? Phenomenal in the regular season, falls apart in the postseason. We will discuss that and more, plus Sean Merriman scheduled to join us. This is OutKick. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of OutKick, the coverage with Clay Travis, weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.